Hi, everyone. Thanks for joining us on the Kirk Church Podcast. I'm Aaron Elmore, lead pastor at Kirk at the Hills, located in Tulsa, Oklahoma. This is where you can hear messages from all our pastors and guest speakers. Make sure to subscribe and share with anyone who follows the Kirk. If you want to know more about us, visit us at thekirk.com, like us on Facebook, or follow us on Instagram at The Kirk Church. Well, let's get started with today's episode.
We just celebrated Memorial Day a few weeks ago. And during this holiday, we go down memory lane and remember the great men and women who made the ultimate sacrifice with their lives for this country. Memorial Day is not about eating hot dogs and hamburgers. As we remember, we honor these great heroes and heroines. We can only honor them if we remember. This week was the 80th anniversary of the Normandy landing. I've had the honor and privilege to be close to some guys that served during World War II. And some of the stories that they told me was they were 18-year-olds, 19-year-olds that had no idea what was waiting for them overseas. Some of them said in training we were told that we were going to kick the Germans. It's going to be a walkover. But when they got there, it was a different scenario. Stories of people, when it's snowing out there in the trenches. And every year, we celebrate Memorial Day to think and reflect and remember. The funny thing about history is that it teaches us about the past so that we can understand the present and be able to predict or see into the future. If we don't learn from the past, past mistakes are going to be repeated again. And we see in this very short book, as we are in a short sermon series of 4 weeks, in the second week of this series, we see in this very short book, Peter mentioning at least five times in only three chapters about remembering. So there must be something very important that this great apostle wanted to hit home, wanted us to understand about remembering. It is destructive to forget. So Peter gives us an apostolic reminder. Verse 12. So I will always remind you of these things, even though you know them and are firmly established in the truth you know, you now have. He's a good pastor. He started by giving them positive affirmation, saying, I know, you know scriptures. You read the Bible. You are well versed in the terrain of Bible study. I know you know these things, guys. You've got it. But I need to remind you. I need to rewind your minds so that you remember. Peter was seeing his readers, and he was a little bit worried. Like Pastor Aaron said last week, during this time when he wrote this gospel, there was a lot of heresy going around the church about the end times. And as Peter looked at this early church, he was worried and he said, are they going to finish the way they started? So in his last testament, he said, I need to remind you guys of these things. Because if you don't remember, then you are not going to finish well. Verse 13. I think it is right to refresh your memory. Again, he's refreshing their memories. As long as I live in the tent of this body. Peter reminds the church of the truth they should remain devoted to. Eternal life is at stake. He is reminding the audience to keep a virtuous life, a godly life. Remembrance establishes us on the truth that we know. The human mind has a tendency to forget. I once read from one study, don't ask me after this sermon what study it was, because I've forgotten what study it was. But the study found out that the human mind, if it's taught something for the first time, after an hour, it is capable of retaining 10% only of new knowledge. It is only through repetition and remembering and going over things that you finally retain more things. So the human mind is limited. That's one of the differences between God and us. In the Old Testament, God says, as the heavens are far away from the earth, so are my thoughts different from yours. Our hard drive as humans is limited. It can only contain so many gigabytes. How many people remember the times of the mainframe computers? Raise up your hands. Aha, okay. I can see some dinosaurs like myself. And my little Apple Watch here, it contains more brain power than those large mainframe computers. Your mind and my mind, we are limited in what we can think at a time. There are certain applications which, when there is no more space to remember or put new things, it deletes automatically the oldest stuff. So that when you go and look for those older files, you can no longer see them. What happened? It's because they were deleted and they are forgotten. And Peter knew the limitations of his audience. That's why he is addressing this issue here. He's saying you need to be reminded, you need to remember certain things. And he's reminding them of the truth that they should remain devoted to. One of the songs that I love is Count Your Blessings. Name them one by one. What does this song do? It simply puts us down memory lane. Think where you used to be, where you started off, and then reflect on where you are today. And it will surprise you to see what the Lord has done. So much is happening so fast in our world. So much that it is difficult to keep up. Memory fades fast when pressure is on. That's why you have a song and it's a number one hit on the billboards, and after a couple of months it's gone and something new is on the hit. Of course, last Friday, Tulsa went down memory lane with Earth, Wind, and Fire, and Lionel Richard, the BOK. There are certain golden oldies that last the test of time or the passage of time. One of the things that I like to do, my wife doesn't know that I do this. I go to our old photo album on our wedding day, July the 2nd, 1988. And as I flip through those pictures and I see a slimmer version of myself with that beautiful woman, something happens to me as I go down memory lane. By the way, she's a golden oldie to me because she's still on the heat. Something happens. Something is stirred up in my heart. The emotions of that day are long gone. The passion of that day is long gone. But as I reflect and remember those times, something is awakened in my heart. And this is exactly what Peter is trying to do to his audience. That you need to remember about certain things. And in the book of Revelation, Jesus says to one of the churches, I have something against you guys. Why? It's because you have lost the passion. You have lost your first love. Remember what it was like when you first came to Christ. Remember what it was like when you first had a revelation about who Jesus was. But as life happens, memory fades. Shiny things, new things, they come on the scene. We pastors, we've heard this tragic story many times. Somebody comes and sits across you, and they say, he forgot, she forgot what we went through as a young couple. He forgot how broke we were. She forgot how we struggled to become what we are today. And here, so many years later, they are saying, I want to divorce you. We have heard many a story like that, and it breaks our hearts as we minister to people. Why? Somebody forgot along the way. That's why it is important for you to go down memory lane in your marriage and think about those times when you couldn't wait to see him or you couldn't wait to see her. When your heart rate would go up by just seeing that person appearing across the corner. But new and shiny things, plastic things can come along the way and you can forget. That's why Peter is saying, wait a minute. I need to jog down your memory a little bit. You need to remember. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
That's good stuff. We get so much information, and our hard drives of our minds are inundated with so much information. So much that Paul had to speak to the Philippians in chapter 4, verse 8, and he said, you know what? Don't think about everything. They say junk in, junk out. He said, let me direct you in Philippians 4, verse 8, on what things you should think about. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true and whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. So whenever you have thoughts coming into your mind, here is a checklist. Is it good? Is it holy? Is it pure? Is it lovely? Is it admirable? Is it excellent or praiseworthy? If it falls within this list, then it's okay to think about it. Remembrance stirs up things. We need to be continually stirred up every day to strive towards godliness. The Bible says God's mercies are new every morning. You think about it, you reflect upon it, and you are stirred up. Romans 15, verse 15. Yet I have written to you quite boldly on some points to remind you of them again because of the grace God gave me. This is Paul, not Peter. He's collaborating what Peter is saying. I'm reminding you that you remember those things. And this is God speaking in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 9. Only be careful, he's speaking through the prophet, and watch yourselves closely so that you do not forget the things your eyes have seen or let them fade from your heart as long as you live. Teach them to your children and to their children after them. Do not forget. Proverbs 4 verse 5. Get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget my words or turn away from them. The great German theologian Dietrich Bonhoeffer once said, Satan does not fill us with hatred of God, but with forgetfulness of God. That's his number one trick. We forget about God. And Peter says in verse 14, because I know that I will soon put it aside as our Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me. What is he talking about putting aside? He's talking about putting aside the tent, meaning that life is temporal. I visited a couple of our CAC members this week, and they are now both with the Lord. They are in the arms of our Lord Jesus Christ. But on both occasions, as I visited them where they were, it reminded me of the mortality of life. Paul is speaking about his body and his life like being in a tent, that it's temporal. 80 years, 85 years, 70 years, 90 years, 95 years, maybe, 100 years. It goes like a flash. Go back to your past photograph and see yourself when you were a teenager. And you ask yourself, where have all the years gone to? Time is like a flash. That's why Peter says, I'm in this tent. It's temporal. It's a jolt to us to realize that everything that we see is temporal. And he says, I want to remind you, because I know I'm going to leave this tent. Verse 15, and I will make every effort to see that after my departure, you will always be able again to remember these things. He's emphasizing over and over again the importance of remembering. So remembering keeps us alert. Peter wanted his readers to live a gospel-centered life all the time, which is one of our values here at the CAC, to live a gospel-centered life. If we remember what he did for us, it keeps us on the straight and narrow path. If we remember that he said that you are not of your own, that you are the temple of God, you won't be able to say, it's my body, I can do what I want to do with it. Hello? Scripture says you are not of your own. You were bought with a special price. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. So he says, don't forget. And he has a message. What was his message? Verse 16, the apostolic message. For we did not follow cleverly devised stories when we told you about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ in power, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. That's the meat of his message. That they were eyewitnesses of his power. He's talking about the transfiguration. And when they heard the voice coming down. In 1 Corinthians 2, verse 1 to 5, he also talks and says, this is Paul. When I came to you, I did not speak eloquent words. Words of men. Because during this time, as I said before, heresy and mythology, Greek mythology, was spreading all around the church. There were guys who could talk. And they went to the school of learning how to talk to the different philosophies that were thriving during that time. And Paul says, no. That's not what I came preaching to you. I came preaching to you the word of God. And with the word of God, it was confirmed with God's power. Verse 17, he received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to him from the majestic glory saying, this is my son whom I love, with him I am well pleased. That's God affirming Christ's sonship. And verse 18, we ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with him on the sacred mountain. Peter is verifying the transfiguration. He is an eyewitness account. Not only is he an eyewitness, but he is also an ear witness. He saw and he heard that Christ will come back again in power and in majesty. And that's the message that he is reminding the early church to remember always, that Christ is coming back again, that this life is temporal. This is the foundation of Christian morality. The realization and remembrance that Christ is coming back again. So some people looked at Peter and asked him, where do you get the authority to say what you are saying? Who gave you the power to do that? And Peter says, because I've got apostolic authority, I can make those bold assertions. Verse 19, we also have the prophetic messages, something completely reliable, and you'll do well to pay attention to it. And verse 20, above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation of things. Verse 21, for prophecy never had its origin in the human will, but prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. And he rested his case. Peter is saying, I have the authority to say what I am saying. Because these things that I'm talking about were attested by the prophets in the Old Testament. They spoke about Christ coming. They prophesied his death and his resurrection. So it does have a prophetic foundation. And we at the CEC, we do the Apostles' Creed. We believe in the apostles. We believe in their teachings. We believe that Jesus Christ died and rose again. And we believe in the Holy Catholic Church. We are not just a fly-by-night church, but we are built upon the foundations of the apostles, of whom Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone that the builders threw away. So Peter is saying, I'm not just saying hearsay here, but I'm speaking things that have a profound foundation. In closing, benefits of remembering, three things. Remembrance establishes us on the truth we know. Remembrance stirs us up. And remembrance keeps us alert. What can we practically do today? Like I said, garbage in, garbage out. Always think about His word. Meditate on it and speak it to yourself. B, participate in the sacraments, baptism and Holy Communion as a way of remembering. Christ taught His disciples and He said, "Do this in remembrance of me. This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. This is my blood shed for you." And every month as we participate in the sacraments, we are remembering what He has done. Thirdly, realize and acknowledge that we have a helper, the Holy Spirit, who helps us remember all the truth. We are not alone in this journey. God knows your limitations, and God knows my limitations. And He said, "Behold, I will not leave you alone. I will send you a helper who will help you remember all truth that you have learned." Let us pray. Father, we come before you this morning. We pray, dear Lord, that He help us to remember. Remember your word, and remember that you are coming again. We thank you for your spirit that stirs us up, Father, that we always remember that you are coming back again. In Jesus' name, amen.